May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord. Amen. Being part of a church and a congregation is wonderful. I often think that we are blessed here at St. Ursula's. The welcoming spirit and the general unity which we find here is certainly special. Today's Gospel reading shows us that this does not always have to be the case. We see that sometimes it is just a matter of time until a challenging aspect of Christ's teaching divides an otherwise united crowd of believers. From our point of view, the exchange between Jesus and his disciples seem rather difficult to follow. To make sense of it, we have to call to our minds what led to this rather conflict-filled conversation in the first place. Just one day ago, Jesus had crossed over the Sea of Galilee to a place near Bethsaida. A great multitude had followed him because they saw his healing miracles. Jesus had compassion on them, and he miraculously healed many people. As evening approached, Jesus performed yet another miracle. He fed 5,000 people by multiplying just 5 loaves of bread and 2 pieces of fish. The people who witnessed these miracles and got to eat their fill were understandably very excited. In fact, they were so impressed by Jesus that they wanted to make him king. And if Jesus was not going to comply with their wishes, they were even prepared to make him king by force. After all, they must have reasoned, this Jesus with his extraordinary powers will make a fine, invincible opponent to our Roman oppressors. With him being our king, nobody is going to boss us around ever again. But as so often, Jesus got away from the crowd. Later, they found him teaching in the synagogue. The people offered Jesus to become his followers, but they attached a condition to that offer. They would only do so if he agreed to provide them bread every day from now on, exactly like he did over in Bethsaida. Bear in mind that at this point we are speaking of a couple of hundreds or thousands of people who offered their followership to Jesus. Anyone might be tempted to get that kind of followership, but of course not Jesus. Jesus' approach is, as usual, very counterintuitive. He is less interested in mere numbers, but more interested in the true state of their heart. And as far as he was concerned, their hearts were in big trouble. They were willing to pledge allegiance to him in exchange for a daily allowance of bread. They were only willing to follow him for the wrong reasons. They needed him for the bread, and perhaps they needed him to overpower Rome. A genuine love for God, on the other hand, should have prompted them to be grateful and to seek to please God with their lives. But instead, they just simply needed God to please them. They saw Jesus as a means to achieve their purposes, their plans, and their dreams. So Jesus confronted them. He told them that they were only seeking him for the material good, for bread that does not fail. He challenged them to go beyond that, to follow him for all the spiritual benefits. Jesus even drew an analogy. He said that he is the bread of life, the standard staple of food which every human being needs to sustain themselves. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Whoever eats me will live because of me. The one who eats this bread will live forever, Jesus said. Some people in the crowd probably genuinely misunderstood Jesus and accused him, therefore, of promoting cannibalism. His disciples, on the other hand, understood the teaching. Yet many of them still found it very, very hard to accept. Now at this point, we need to bear in mind that the term disciple, which means student, is sometimes used in the Bible in a general sense and at other times in reference to the core group of the 12 disciples. So in this context, the reference is to the larger group of followers of Jesus rather than the inner core of the 12 disciples. So the wider group of disciples heard Jesus' teaching and understood it. They recognized that he was speaking in a symbolic way. But still they found his message very difficult to accept. Could the Messiah really be anything other than a conquering military king? Yet, Jesus' reference to him being the bread of life, which needed to be consumed, hinted at sacrifice, not at a conquest. This idea truly bothered many of Jesus' disciples. To them, his words were totally unacceptable, even so much so that they decided to turn their backs on him and not to follow him anymore. Then Jesus turned to the 12 disciples and asked, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered faithfully, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." When we think about it, this is a truly powerful and remarkable statement. Let me paraphrase what Peter is saying here. He is saying, "Lord, what you say is too hard for us too. It is a difficult challenge. But even if we wanted to go, to whom would we go? Nobody else has what you have. You have the words of eternal life. You are teaching us day by day that life is more than what we see or dream about. You convinced us that life is more than the here and now. We believe with our intellect and our heart that you are the Holy One of God. We know it because we have experienced it." Peter was being brutally honest here. Prioritizing spiritual treasures and personal sacrifice or personal gain did not sound attractive to them. But the 12 disciples were willing to follow Jesus nevertheless. Though they too were probably struggling to accept his recent claims, they acknowledged that he had the words of eternal life. They recognized that their life only made sense when they were part of Jesus. More than anything, the passage today reminds us that following Jesus is not always easy. There can be times where our faith in Christ, especially our confidence in the goodness of his purposes and plans, is fiercely challenged. It is at such times that we need to understand the true meaning of the word faith. As Paul defines it in Hebrews, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We live by faith, not by sight. And faith requires a childlike trust. Though we do not understand and though we do not fully embrace it, we can trust in the goodness of our loving Father's plans. I wonder what it felt like for the disciples to be in a situation like this, where they stand at a crossroads and take a decision which is so different from the majority of the group of followers of Christ. I can imagine that it was not easy. Imagine that you are convinced that you need to keep following Jesus despite your friends, colleagues, or even family members being highly offended with Christ's words. Frankly, this can be a heartbreaking test, especially when one has a strong desire for harmony and unity. Yet what we learn from Christ is that sugarcoating his message in order to keep numbers high or to keep A superficial kind of harmony is not what he wants. Granted that Christ can come across as harsh at such moments, but we must see his underlying motive. Christ's love for everyone is the reason why he refuses to change his message, not because he rejects people. Loving people means being honest with them, speaking truth in love. Jesus would rather have us offended and challenged for a moment and gain eternal life than never be challenged and lose eternal life. We learn from the passage today that there are different reasons why people follow Christ. God wants us to choose him for the right reasons. Jesus invites us today to choose him for an overflowing relationship, for abundant life, a treasure far more worth than whatever we would have to give in exchange, a treasure which only can be gained by shifting our focus unto the spiritual. For those who fear that the emphasis on spirituality means leading a secluded, silent, lowly life which is solely focused on the spirit, well, let me just say that Jesus never asked us to neglect legitimate physical needs. Let's not forget, after all, that Jesus was the one who fed 5,000 people. And Jesus and his disciples were often accused of having too much fun, of feasting, celebrating, and breaking silly Sabbath rules, of healing and fellowshipping with people from all walks of life. So Christ truly shared his love and peace with everyone, even with those who took offense at him. And perhaps this is the most challenging part of being a true disciple of Christ, to share love and peace with those who take offense. Jesus never gave us the permission to look down on those who take offense or to look down on those who walk away. On the contrary, he called us to a higher standard of love and patience. By doing this, we share real peace with everyone, including those who take offense at Christ. May Jesus himself help us to patiently speak the truth in love to those around us, to those hurting, and to those who feel offended. May the Holy Spirit comfort us during times of conflict, and may God himself shower us with his mercy, grace, and understanding when we ourselves struggle to embrace the message of Christ to its full extent. Amen.